Welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast, a place where we put our finger on the pulse of what's happening in the world today so we can better pray for and equip the next generation. Our focus will always be revival and spiritual awakening in our children, our schools, and our motherhood. We're so glad you're here with us. Let's get started. Hey, sweet friends. Welcome back to the Moms in Prayer podcast. I'm your host, Leenine Heiss, and I am so glad you're here for today's episode. Did you already subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you listen to podcasts? It's so fun knowing that so many of you are doing that so you don't miss an episode. And if you haven't, why in the world not? Thanks to you, friends, who are leaving reviews on the podcast so others can find us and learn more about Moms in Prayer. We love you guys. Today's guest is Moms in Prayer Area Coordinator Sarah Moranville. She's from the plains of eastern Colorado. Today, Sarah is going to share her Moms in Prayer story, but also the story of losing her son and the faithfulness of our great God come shining through. Sarah and I have overlapped a few different ways, and I can honestly say she's one of the most genuine and joyful people I've met. You're going to love her and the God that she serves. Let's get started. Sarah, welcome to the Moms in Prayer podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to get to visit with you.
It is so fun to have you here. Sarah, introduce yourself and your family to our audience.
So I'm Sarah Moranville. I live out on the plains of eastern Colorado. I am married to my husband, Scott, who farms and ranches. So Lee and I are both farmers' wives. We know how this works. Scott and I have been married a little over 20 years, and I married him when I was 18. So I have been with him longer than I was without him. But anyway, the Lord blessed us with three beautiful children. Our oldest, Riley, who is a senior in high school. She is going to turn 18 in a couple of weeks. And then 17 and a half months after I had Riley, I had Wesley, our only son. And then our big surprise was Charlie, who came along a little bit later. She is now in the seventh grade and is 13. So I have a junior higher and a high schooler. And my son Wesley passed away about 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago. So he is already getting to rejoice with the Lord.
Sarah, you're a Moms in Prayer area coordinator in eastern Colorado. How long have you been a part of the Moms in Prayer ministry?
Okay, so that's kind of the crazy part about my story, is not very long. It wasn't until after my son Wes passed away that God really brought Moms in Prayer really like a lightning bolt back to me. I had read the book by Fern Nichols years ago. I mean, my kids were really pretty little, about how to pray for your children. I think it was Every Child Needs a Praying Mom was the title of it. And at the time, I kind of thought about maybe starting a group, and then it was gone. We were busy with a Bible study, never thought about it again. And then after my son passed away, it was that summer we were up camping, and I went out to do my morning devotion, and I had my coffee and my Bible, and it was going to be amazing just being in God's majesty all around me. My girls were still sleeping. I made my husband stay in the camper. He wasn't allowed to come. And literally, I couldn't even concentrate on what I was reading because all God was putting into my head was Moms in Prayer, Moms in Prayer. Literally had not even thought about it in years. And I hurried home. There was no area coordinator for my area. So Lisa, our amazing state coordinator, hurry and trained me over the phone so that I could start like a week later, as soon as school started, with a group. And that was just a few years ago. So I started the group that year. By that spring of that year, Lisa asked me to speak at our state getaway. By the following year, I was an area coordinator. And then I had an opportunity to speak with you guys at our Unshaken conference at our luncheon. So it has been a whirlwind, but I am passionately in love with Moms in Prayer and the entire ministry.
I appreciate that so much because my entry to Moms in Prayer felt like hand in glove too. Like the Lord just ordained for me to be a part of this ministry. I couldn't deny that I was supposed to be praying for my kids. And then it was like a lightning bolt. Like, why doesn't everybody know about this ministry? And that's why I became an area coordinator. So why did you say yes to becoming an area coordinator?
Well, much like you, we are in a very small community on the eastern plains of Colorado. And so when you live in a big city, you may know moms whose kids go to all sorts of different schools. When you're in a small community like this, you know moms in all the other little towns. So I have friends in the majority of the towns in eastern Colorado. That's who your kids play sports against. And that's just kind of who you end up making friends with. And so I knew of so many moms out there that are amazing Christian women praying for their kids and their schools already. I mean, it may not be in a organized ministry like Moms in Prayer, but I knew so many of them would want to join in and be a part of this and have other moms just come together so you're praying together. As so many of you know, in Moms in Prayer, when you not only pray scripture over your child, but you hear the lady next to you praying scripture over your child as well, it is life-changing. And I wanted that for all these moms in eastern Colorado. And to tell you the truth, when I went to that first state getaway, they had a map of Colorado with all sorts of pins where all the groups were. And eastern Colorado was just about empty. And that just made my mama's heart so sad. So that's what really got me motivated to go ahead and take that leap to be an area coordinator. And much like you said before, Lee, even taking that leap to be an area coordinator, I was extremely new. So I was like, oh, I better pray about it. I was headed back to work. I had a short sabbatical after my son had passed away. And I thought, can I really put one more thing on my plate right now? And God really very much said, I literally had people calling asking to start groups after I was wondering if I should be an area coordinator. And I was like, absolutely. Here's my lightning bolt. I prayed for a lightning bolt and you've given it to me. The women want it. They want to know more about it. So why not share it?
The perfect answer. Absolute perfect answer. It's almost like God will do this. If we give him an inch, he will take a mile. And he'll use whatever time we have, even though you're a busy mom with one in high school and one in middle school, right? Like,
yes.
We are in the busy years of parenting, and yet we can't help but pray.
Absolutely. And even more so, especially where my daughter is now getting ready to go off to college next year. Wow. It takes your mama heart to like a whole different level, because it's like, I feel like I have this short amount of span that I have to fit everything else I need to teach her before I let her go off and see what God does with her. So it's like crunch time is kind of how I feel about it right now.
It is. It is. I always keep this running countdown clock in the back of my mind. How much time do we have left with them before they launch into this world? And there's so much to do between now and then.
Absolutely.
The other little nugget that I want to pull out while we're still thinking about you being an area coordinator is that it would be a myth to think you will have to arrive at some level of somethingness to become an area coordinator or a leader in Moms in Prayer, because they really do train you well to help start other groups. So when moms hear this and they think, I could never become an area coordinator or take a leadership position in Moms in Prayer, they're not hanging you out to dry, right?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, as I was thinking about today, I thought more than anything, what I want to get across to moms out there is I am just an ordinary mom. There is nothing special, or there's lots of things special about me, but there's nothing like extraordinary about me that would make me even better at this role than somebody else. I fell in love with the ministry, and I had a passion for the idea of something so simple. Like, this is not some crazy idea. This is just your basic obedience, is just to pray. I mean, for crying out loud, we have the ability to pray, to talk with, have a relationship with the creator of the world. That is so awesome. And he is literally wanting to hear not just our troubles, but he's wanting to hear things we're excited about, things that we're praising him for and thanking him for. I mean, he is right there just wanting us to visit with him. And what an opportunity we have. Why not completely take advantage of that?
I totally agree. Sarah, you've mentioned it a couple of times now, but can you tell us the story of losing Wesley?
Yes, I can. Do I want to? Not really, but but it's it's one of those things that the Lord put in my life, and I don't like it, but I feel that he put it in my life for a reason, and it's my responsibility to share that with others. But so my son Wesley was an amazing kid. He was also a boy. So he was also, you know, very naughty at times too. But he was 13 years old, extremely active. My kids are very involved in 4-H, very involved in athletics. And Wesley was an amazing athlete. He really was. And growing up on the family farm. So Wesley had this work ethic in him that was really beyond any other kid I ever saw his age. And I'm pretty sure the majority of the people in our community would completely agree with me. When it came to the summers, he very seldom left the farm to do anything other than probably play basketball. Was about the only other thing he would leave for. The harvest before he passed away, he was our full-time grain cart driver through all of harvest. And at that point, he was still 12 years old. I mean, he had driven combines. It was a true passion. He was always going to come back and take over the family farm. That was definitely in his sights. But
Sarah, I just have to interrupt you and interject a farm mom thing, because I know that there are people who are listening who are not farm mothers who are like, her 12-year-old son was driving a what? Driving, period. And I just, solidarity. Us farm moms have kids. And let's go with husbands that are absolutely crazy.
Yes, I know. That does say, I swear it's not child labor.
No, it's like, not child labor. Much
loving every second of it. And not ever really coming in contact with other vehicles. So that's always a good thing.
That's
too.
Exactly right. So Wesley is a farm boy through and through.
Yes,
hard worker.
Absolutely. In all honesty, we had no idea anything as far as physically was wrong with Wes. He had been diagnosed with asthma, and through that basketball season, he had been struggling with being very winded during games. And we were starting to kind of think maybe it was from something else. We maybe needed to check into it. But on December 10th, he had a junior high basketball game. He's in seventh grade. He was their starting point guard, just like any normal day. I fed him a snack, went down to the game in our gymnasium. I was the secretary at the school at the time. So my girls were there. And as you know, in small communities, everybody comes to ball games. So the gym was full of people. And towards the end of the game, Wesley went out of the game and sat down next to his grandpa on the bench, who was his assistant coach, and collapsed. He just seized up right there on the bench. And we ran to him. And at the time, we thought it was just asthma. But as he wasn't waking up, as he wasn't breathing, we knew that it was something much more serious than that. And at that point, as a mom, you have really no idea what to do. And I literally fell to my knees in the middle of the gym, and with people watching all over, just started to beg God to fill my son's lungs with air again. And Lord, I know you're there. Just, you know, pick him up in your arms and cradle him and let everybody see a miracle happen right before your eyes. And I prayed without ceasing the entire way to the hospital. Knowing what we know now, there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus met him right there on the basketball court and took him up to heaven. He had a congenital heart defect that he had had since birth. We had no idea he had. It was extremely, extremely rare. Most anomalies similar to his, or I should say there's a lot of different anomalies, but the one that he had, his left coronary artery attached to his right coronary artery, which is extremely rare. And most of the time, what we could find, it's like a 90% death rate at infancy. So the Lord letting us have him for 13 years was really a miracle in itself. And that he was able to be the kid he was for 13 years is truly a miracle. But he passed away that night, and it was completely unexpected, saying that your life stops quickly and the world as you know it is completely changed forever is just really an understatement.
Sarah, how did you see God working in the details in those first moments and days after losing Wesley?
It's hard to even remember a lot of it, which is kind of crazy because parts of it I remember vividly and other parts I don't. But a friend reminded me that as I walked out of the emergency room to where all the people were. As I said, he passed away at a basketball game. So there was a huge crowd of people at the hospital. And when we walked out, I went up to one of my best friends and quoted Job to her. I said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So literally I did not even remember saying this to her. She told me later on that I had said that to her, and we had done a Bible study years before on Job. And that verse, I am not one to memorize scripture, but that verse had always kind of stuck with me. And I was literally standing in the same hospital I had given birth to him in. I was consciously already leaning on the Lord before I even really knew I was leaning on the Lord. Our community was phenomenal. Our church family was unbelievable. And God's faithfulness and peace and just compassion and mercy was felt so deeply that it's hard to even explain. At times, I remember my husband and I talking about it. We were actually driving home from the viewing, and I told Scott, I said, "I have such a peace right now, and it almost makes me angry. I almost want to be more mad, and I'm not." And he said the same thing. He goes, "God's given us this peace, and it doesn't even seem right, but there is only one way you can have peace like that. There is only one way that you can feel okay, if that's even possible in a situation like that. And that's with really putting your faith and your trust in the Lord and letting him guide you through it."
What became the most important things to you and your girls during the middle of that time?
Each other. A lot of it was just family. I mean, we surrounded ourselves with family, and we are blessed to be in a very strong Christian family. That's another thing that really kept us going. I mean, let's face it, this is every parent's worst nightmare. I mean, the thought of losing one of your babies is scary. That is so scary. And you never know how you're going to react. And when you have two girls watching you and waiting to see how you react to things and to see how you process things, it keeps you in check, knowing that you need to keep moving on, that you need to maybe search and find God's plan in things so that you can help them through the process as well. But it was tough. It was hard. And I'm not going to say it was all rainbows and roses and we didn't have our ups and our downs. And it was tough. But with the Lord's help, with his complete provision over us and digging in the scripture, after Wes passed away, I have a book just full of verses. I would read, and just write things down, just write verses down that I could just flip back to, that I could have just immediate help from him. And I think once I started really diving into scripture, it creates even more of a relationship with him, to where I think it really opened my mind and my heart to have him really speak to me as well.
We've talked about this, but you've learned some pretty powerful lessons about life and death. And you kind of have walked away with a new perspective on that. Would you explain some of that process and thinking with our friends?
So at the time of Wes passing away, I was every small town mama. I was busy. I worked at the school with my kids. I always said I stayed at home with them until they went to school, and then I followed them there. So I was that mom that wanted to be everything, that have the home-cooked meal at home, but be able to be with my kids and get them involved in every activity they could get involved in, and have me be involved in every activity we could be involved in. And, you know, if there was a Bible study, oh, maybe I should try to do that too. You know, that's a good thing for me to do. I was going through life usually thinking about what the next plan was, what the next step was, who I needed to pick up, what I needed to do next, what meal did I need to have ready for tomorrow night. Literally, that's what my mind was consumed with. And I was not being present at all in my own life. And when everything stops and you have the opportunity to really look at every aspect of your life, I realized that I wanted to be present. I wanted to be present for this life that the Lord had given me. And sometimes that means saying no to things and good things. Sometimes that means not keeping your calendar stacked with things that are going to be helpful for your family, but knowing that sometimes the most helpful thing for your family is to not have things on the calendar. is to have life slow down a little bit so that you can enjoy things. And I wanted to no longer be just hustling from one thing to the next, but truly be present. When I was at church, I am present. I am there and I am listening. I'm not thinking about what I need to be doing that afternoon. When I'm at a ball game, I am present. I am watching my kids do something they love to do. And I'm not thinking about what carpool stuff looks like for the next day. And I don't know how long I'm going to have with any of them. None of us do. And I don't want to take for granted that I'm going to have years and years with anybody in my life. You just don't know. So you need to be present. You need to stop trying to keep up with what the world says you need to be. And you need to be what God is telling you you need to be.
I know that you've put a little bit of your heart in heaven now, beyond just the Lord Jesus, but you have Wesley waiting for you there. And I know that must be really reassuring as a mom.
It is. At a time, death can be almost kind of scary. It's kind of the unknown. But having a child there, it makes me excited to go to heaven. It makes me so excited for the day that I can see him again. And not that that's not more important than seeing Jesus. And my focus of heaven, of course, is still on seeing my Lord and Savior, because Wesley was an amazing Christian kid. He really was. And I know he is there. And I am so thankful that Jesus came and died for us, because now we have an opportunity to all be up there together. I tell you what, after losing Wesley, I have this whole new love for Easter, an absolute love for Easter. And I think so much of it is not that I didn't appreciate it before, but I appreciate it even more now, knowing that my son is in heaven.
So well said. How do you think this journey impacted your heart for prayer and the way you pray for your girls now?
Oh, it was crazy. I mean, it really was crazy how my prayer life changed. The funny story behind my prayer life is the idea of praying out loud scared the bejeebies out of me before Wesley passed away. I had been in Bible studies for years and refused to pray out loud. And on the night Wesley passed away, and I literally dropped to my knees and prayed out loud in front of a gym full of people, put a whole new perspective of prayer. Then coming into Moms in Prayer and everything else, when Jesus brings you to your knees, which is what he did when Wesley passed away, you have to pray to get through even the smallest things. I would pray in the morning to be able to get out of bed. I would pray as I was taking dishes down, and I had to take 4 down instead of 5 plates. And so many things that I think you just take for granted and you don't realize how different it is until you're put in that circumstance. My defense through all of it was to pray. And I still do, even at times like this. That is my way to let go, is to give it to the Lord and to really try to thank him for all the blessings I was able to have with him, that our family was able to have with him. After he passed away, I told my girls, I said, you know, you really have a choice to make right now. With something that happens to you like this, you can take it 2 directions. You can use it to make you a better person, a more compassionate person, or you can use it as an excuse for the rest of your life. For any shortcoming you may have, you can use it as an excuse, and you really need to decide. And that's been my prayer for my girls so much, is that they use this. And it's so sad that you have something like this happens, that so that you do have it to use, but you know how important it was to have people supporting you and encouraging you. You know how hard it was, but you also know firsthand the peace that God gave you about things, and how you still felt so loved and secure because of that faithfulness that you had, and that faithfulness that God had, that he was going to be there to shield you and protect you. And what an amazing thing you now have to share. And I pray all the time that my girls just use this, that they use this to glorify him in everything that they do.
Sarah, thanks for sharing Wesley's story with us and your story. And I'm so deeply encouraged by knowing that in the middle of what you absolutely were right. You absolutely were right when you said this is every mom's worst case scenario. And yet God was there holding in the middle of that. He has held you together. And, you know, it's funny, Sarah, I've met you in person. We've talked many times. I would describe you as a woman of deep joy, not a woman of deep grief and sorrow as the marking trait. Do you think there's been a time where you've had to make that a conscious decision?
Absolutely. I wish I could say that every step along the way has just been filled with reassurance and joy. There has been many times that I have had to read through the scripture and have long talks with him. I don't think I've ever been that bitter or mad, but for a long time, when somebody would share that they had a miracle happen, you know, oh, this happened to this person and it's a miracle they made it through, I would get very upset that God had not given me a miracle. And I struggled with that. And I was very, almost kind of selfish of why did they get it and I didn't? And I have to give credit for, well, of course, to him and to Moms in Prayer, because at a time where I was really starting to struggle with some of that, I was getting ready for a speaking engagement. And I've really only done a handful of speaking engagements, but every time I do, I truly feel that the Lord heals me or shows me something in the process of doing it. And I remember I was in the shower getting ready, and I thought, well, how can I explain to people that how rare this was, that Wesley was here for 13 years as a normal child, not even sickly or anything? And I remember like saying out loud, well, it was a miracle. And I stopped in the shower and just started to sob because I thought, Sarah, he gave you a miracle for 13 years. And you can't see that. I just remember thinking, you know, thank you, Lord, for showing me this, because these are the things that I can look at and go, oh God, you are such a good God. And sometimes when I'm down, I think of how lucky we were to have such a fun 13 years as the five of us together.
We're going to need to take a moment to all grab a Kleenex right now, Sarah.
I'm sorry.
We serve such a good God to meet us in the middle of what really does hurt and give us glimmers of his heart towards us, which is loving and kind. Do you have any thoughts or challenges for our Moms in Prayer sisters who are listening? Any words of wisdom that you feel like the Lord's given you for us?
I just want moms to know that there is nothing extraordinary about me. I wish I could tell you that I got up every morning and made my kids this amazing homemade breakfast and did devotions with them and prayed with them every day, but I would be lying. It doesn't always go that way. Usually I am still in my sweats sitting on the couch while the girls are running out the door, and I'm, you know, telling them to grab a granola bar because we haven't even had time for breakfast and let alone a prayer or a talk about God. I mean, I am just the same normal mom as probably so many of us, wanting to be that perfect mom. But through all of this, it is just, I can't even explain to you how important your relationship with the Lord is, truly following or trying so hard to follow what he has in store for you and being present. Just not letting the world dictate to you what kind of a mom you're supposed to be, but let the Lord guide you in that. And to pray for your kids and just be there, just be present in every aspect of their life and in your life.
Such a good word to wrap up on, Sarah. Being present right here in the middle of this gift of today. Friend, would you close us in a time of prayer?
Absolutely. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for all these mamas that are listening, whether they're a part of Moms in Prayer or not. Lord, just help us as fellow moms just disciple each other, help each other grow. And Lord, just be a part of our everyday, Lord. Help us stay present. Give us that discernment to know what we should say yes to and what we shouldn't.
Lord, just help us to be good mamas to our kids. And Lord, thank you so much for the Moms in Prayer ministry and everything it has done in my life. And Lord, and everything it's done in so many other mamas' lives in this whole world. And Lord, I just ask you to help this ministry continue to grow, to help more schools be covered in prayer, and help us do everything just to glorify you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for this time that Lee and I could spend together. Amen.
Amen. Man, there are some awesome women in this ministry. The quote that won't let go of me is this one. There's only one way you can feel peace like we did in a moment like that. It's by putting your trust in the Lord. Let's do that today. Let's lean into the Father today and trust that He has the compassion, mercy, and faithfulness available for the things we are facing. We love being on this journey with you, friends. Moms make the difference. Moms who are so normal. Moms just like you. See you next week.